Tim Bertolotti, let's talk about ballot questions in Massachusetts. Listen, I've been covering New York State one way or another politics for a lot of years. And one of the things I always say in columns is if we had initiative and referendum in this state, things would be very different. They have them in New York City, it makes a difference. But in New York State, they don't, and probably never will, because the, what's the right technical term here? The bums in the legislature will never let it happen. But in Massachusetts, right over the border, some very interesting ballot questions are there. Can you go over them with us?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we have four interesting ballot questions coming up in November. The one that's gotten the most attention is, should the state raise the cap that it has imposed on the establishment of charter schools? These are schools that receive public funding but establish their own curricula and hire and fire teachers based on their own criteria. And the pro side is this provides a wider range of choices for parents. The con side is this is siphoning badly needed tax money from public schools. So anyone who watched the Summer Olympics broadcast got their fill of ads on both sides of the issue. They were blanketing the airwaves. And what we've seen, now when Western New England polled on this issue in the spring, raising the cap was running pretty far ahead of keeping it in place. But we had a huge 23% undecided. So that means it's a new issue. People really haven't given it a whole lot of thought. WBUR and our friends at the Mass Inc. polling group put out a poll a couple of weeks ago where they showed ahead by 7 points, that the state was favoring keeping the cap in place. And if that continues to play out, that would be an extraordinary achievement. The other questions that are out there, legalized recreational marijuana, the polling I have seen has shown that passing by fairly comfortable margins. Our polling has shown that as well. And that would follow up on ballot questions in 08 that decriminalized possession of an ounce or less of marijuana, and a ballot question in 2012 that permitted medical marijuana. In each case, the state has voted about 55-60% in favor. The other two questions are a little narrower. One is, should we permit another slots parlor, this one near the Suffolk Downs racetrack in Eastern Mass? No is carrying the day, according to WBUR and Mass Inc. We already have a slots parlor in Plainville, just south of Foxborough, and we've got these casinos coming online. The other question is a question dealing with, should we permit the sale of eggs and meat from farms that confine hens and livestock in cages or very confined spaces? That's a complicated question. Very few farms in Massachusetts would be affected by that. Most already comply with requirements for cage-free animals, but it would affect food coming in from out of state. And what WBUR found was about two-thirds in favor. The counterargument to this question is a fear that it would raise food prices and that that would hit the poor. That'll be a very interesting policy debate to watch play out in the remaining weeks.
So let's go back to marijuana, which is sort of interesting to me. Many people who are professionals in this think that this is a very bad idea, that marijuana is a gateway drug, that people will drive while high, that there will be all kinds of problems with it. And yet, the people of my state, Massachusetts, seem to be very much for the ability to get high. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's been an interesting dialogue to watch. The state attorney general, Maura Healey, is opposed to legalization, as is Governor Charlie Baker. The speaker of the state house, Robert DeLeo, opposes it, as does Marty Walsh, the mayor of Boston. Interesting, one of our members of Congress, Seth Moulton from the 6th District, which is just north of Boston, said, "I smoked marijuana when I was a student at Harvard. Other people should have that right." Now, you think a generation or two ago, no elected official would say that. But there are some prominent folks on the vote yes side as well. The concern is, of course, that this is a gateway drug. There are also concerns about the way the initiative is written. Stan Rosenberg, the president of the Senate, state senator from Amherst, has said that the law as written in this ballot question has a lot of problems. And even if it does pass, the legislature is going to have to go back in and clean up some of the issues. So the future of this policy is a bit muddled, even if it does pass.
And And again, on the bandwagon effect, if people perceive this as going to pass anyway, are they more inclined to vote for it?
I think they are either more inclined to vote or not to vote no, just let it go. It is the fourth question on the ballot. It is the last question on a long ballot, and there may be some roll-off. There may be some people who just get to it and say, oh, it's going to pass, I don't really care, and they'll leave it blank.
Okay, so Representative, I'm going to change subjects here. Representative Richie Neal, a guy I know well and have great respect for, has a libertarian challenger who I will be interviewing on our air. But what is the role of the libertarians in this particular congressional election? I'm assuming nothing.
Yeah, if you look at the voter registration for the first House district, which is all of Berkshire County and then pieces of Franklin, Hampshire, Hamden, and Worcester counties, the Libertarian Party really doesn't register. It's a handful of folks, less than 1% of the electorate. Most of the district looks like Massachusetts, about a third Democrat, about 12% Republican, and the bulk unenrolled or unaffiliated voters. However, Thomas Simmons, the Libertarian candidate, he's a professor at Greenfield Community College, is raising some arguments that I've heard before. One in particular, that Representative Neal has not paid attention to the rural parts of the district, particularly in Berkshire County. And let's recall, that was added to his district after the 2010 redistricting that used to be represented by John Olver. It was the old first district. So this is an area where Neal is relatively new when we think about longevity in the House of Representatives. And so I'm not sure Simmons will get a whole lot of traction, but it's an interesting argument that he's raising, along with the classic libertarian arguments of too much debt, too much government interference. If you look at resources, it's David versus Goliath, the most recent Federal Election Commission campaign finance filing from Representative Neal from August 19th, shows him with almost $3 million cash on hand. Mr. Simmons has not filed a campaign finance report yet, but it would be fair to expect that he would not have a lot of resources. And so this still shapes up as a pretty lopsided contest.
So how is Governor Baker doing? And I want to caution you, we only have a minute and 40 seconds.
Yeah, Governor Baker continues to poll well in terms of his job approval, in terms of his favorability. Once the 2016 election comes and goes, he's on deck. He's up for re-election in 2018. There aren't a whole lot of folks on the Democratic side willing to take him on. Baker has governed in that tradition of William Weld, moderate Republican governors, and right now, this far out, it looks like he's got pretty smooth sailing. However, of course, things change. Could be fiscal crises, could be budget problems. You never know. But right now, he's sitting pretty strong.
He's got a big problem, and as a, quote, Republican, he's obviously got to walk that line very, very carefully. And in terms of his own political future going up the pipe, it's probably not correct to think that he can support a Donald Trump or somebody like him.
That's right. He did not support Trump in the Massachusetts primary on March 1st. He has said he will not vote for Trump or Clinton in the presidential election. And he's also made clear that he doesn't have higher aspirations of his own in terms of presidential politics. So should there be a Trump administration, Baker will have a tough time should he need to approach the White House for, let's say, heaven forbid, disaster aid, should something happen in Massachusetts. But I think he's resolved that this is the path he has to take in order to stay politically viable in Massachusetts.
Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, our friend. He shows up and he always talks to us. And for that, we very much appreciate you, Tim. Thanks again.
Oh, sure thing.